Good morning. Today is Monday, April the 9th. Joining us this morning from the Humboldt County Office of Education is not Mr. Hartley. Is he in town? I mean, could he be listening to this so we can give him a
that he's listening. He's got a doctor's appointment that he scheduled poorly, I suppose.
Yeah,
so we're subbing in.
Horribly wrong, yes. Joining us this morning. Well, why don't you guys introduce yourselves? What the heck? I don't have to do it.
My name is Amanda Nelson. I'm the manager over at the Sequoia Conference Center at the Office of Education.
And my name is Colby Smart. I'm the Director of Learning Support Services at the Humboldt County Office of Education.
Director of Learning Support. Is that like you drive the bookmobile?
Some days I wish that was my position. No. So I help coordinate professional development in the county, also curriculum and instruction, and I oversee the Humboldt Educational Resource Center, the HERC, which is a central library for teachers and educators in the county.
Now, is that the one that used to be named after Ann Elliott that was then renamed for Louis Bucher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, man, you're dealing with old
old-timers.
And you're still at Franklin School, so let's get that one out there.
Exactly. The Franklin campus.
Amanda, what is the biggest thing just about the conference center?
The biggest thing about the conference center?
Either the biggest wow or the biggest misnomer.
Well, I think the biggest wow, you know, people walk in the door and they don't expect to see what they see. You know, you come onto the Franklin campus and we've got a Franklin campus, Humboldt County Office of Education there at 9
Yeah, you're not going to let it up. Okay, fine.
They're on the Franklin campus. And, you know, you've got what look like a bunch of kind of government buildings. You've got a bunch of office buildings, office space, and the HERC right next door to us. And you don't expect to see what you see when you walk in, which is a really state-of-the-art, nice, new, beautiful conference center. People come in there all the time and go, wow, you know, either we heard about this place or we didn't know this was here, or I haven't been here since this was, you know, a school. And they're just really, really happy to see that, you know, we're here and we're serving the population that we are there. So
what's the biggest false concept or misconception about the facility? It's just another governmental building. I thought blank.
I guess. I don't know what people are misconceptions. I get a lot of misconceptions, I suppose.
Yeah, I might respond in
what you I... Might. Sounds you like might. You are, bud.
In a minute. Is that this center is allowing, and people are really discovering it, allowing for events, more comprehensive events that previous to this building couldn't happen, especially related to professional development. One of the biggest benefits of the Sequoia Conference Center is that it allows Humboldt County educators to attend events, whereas previous they would have to go out of county to the other part of the state. And so that really helps save districts money. It's almost like a communal space for educators to come together around big topics. We have, for example, conferences like the upcoming SHIFT conference, which is focusing on school climate in rural California. We have the STEAM conference and all sorts of other events that previous it was really difficult to have.
Yeah, I know in the past for those folks trying to do small conferences,
right,
or conventions. Okay, you had the Arcata Community Center if it was kind of a tinier one,
right,
and River Lodge,
right.
Thank you very much. You know, Warfinger is too small to be able to really handle more than, you know, maybe 100 people if you're sitting down, mm-hmm, you know, in doing that kind of a dynamic. So it kind of opens that horizon a little bit more for the community.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that's nice about it, especially for the types of events that Colby just mentioned, is the Office of Education is really well situated with other meeting spaces on the campus. There's another, you know, smaller breakout space within the HERC that was recently enclosed within there to provide a smaller meeting space. You know, the annex is really well used by smaller meetings of, you know, 40, 50 people, things like that. We have a
That would be like the board meetings?
Yeah. We have a computer lab. So, you know, we'll have these conferences and there will be a big, general session. And then there might be breakout spaces where we're able to use other places to have more focused, sessions throughout the day. But then always to be able to come back to that general space. So it's really... Yeah, it's great for those larger events, but it's also great because, you know, we're all there on one campus and with the resources that we have available to us next door and just having all the staff on campus to be able to help facilitate those things. We have a wonderful, technology department mm-hmm. and our maintenance and operations folks are great. And everybody being there on campus, kind of all hands on when we have these big events really makes it easy for the guests to.
Almost sounds like parking is an issue now.
You know, it is and it isn't. It is in the sense that when we have, laughing at me, it is in the sense that when we have a big event, during the working hours, sure, that can be difficult. We have our staff there, in other departments at HCOE. But we do our best to coordinate, when we do have a big event coming in, we'll have those events do their best to carpool. There are some businesses nearby that have been kind enough to allow us to park. Never park in the Beret Center. That is, I'll say that publicly. They don't appreciate that.
Well, who else is there in the cemetery?
The CVS over there is nice enough to.
Oh, is that why the Caltrans trucks were there all last week?
No, I think they actually put an office in over there. Yeah. I don't think there's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's been an ongoing dialogue with Ange and me for the last 2 weeks. What? Yeah. They don't have for sale signs on the trucks.
No.
I'm trying to figure out what's okay.
So but then on the weekends, we have over 200 parking spaces. So for things like this weekend at the music festival, we had plenty of parking.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Colby and Amanda from the County Office of Ed. This morning we're discussing the Conference Center and more. Amanda, now that it's been in, 4 or 5 years?
No,
three, 4 years?
August, I'll have been there for 3 years, and I was pretty much there when they opened the doors, so just about 3 years.
Yeah. So
our first event was in June of 2012.
No.
And we, was it 12?
16? 15.
Oh, excuse me. 15. Thank you.
Okay, so
thank
3 years construction, the previous. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15.
So now that it's kind of been worked in a little bit,
mm-hmm.
was there anything that Gary or John missed that you're looking or isn't the folks who designed and did the research? Was there anything that you're looking to go, well, you know what, we might want to do and tweak or think about? The reason I'm asking is I saw a speaker over the weekend that I didn't know existed. Mm-hmm. It's a Bose. It's like about 6 feet tall. It's about 4 inches wide, and it plugs in and is a wireless.
Right.
And I thought, holy Toledo. Okay.
Yeah.
Things advance. Are there things that you're looking at now that, boy, if we have a couple of bucks, we could do this?
Yeah,
do that.
One of those things is stage lighting, for example, and we've been looking at different types of stage lighting because one outcome of having a space like this is you can't predict all types of events where people will want to congregate. So events that lend themselves to stage lighting or particular technologies, and as you know, Brian, technologies are in a constant state of upgrade.
I've heard there's this thing called digital now that's out instead
digital,
of analog.
Yeah. Yeah, we started with analog. Now we're fully digital. We removed all the 8-tracks in the facility.
Oh, my. There must be a neat sale coming up, huh?
No, otherwise, as far as functionality of the building, I mean, they pretty much thought of everything.
Yeah.
You know,
how's it wearing? How's it?
It's holding up great.
So everything's kind of being broken in, and it's still working as smooth as what you were hoping for.
Yeah, and in fact, in ways smoother. I mean, every time anything does come up, you know, we're figuring out new functionalities of the technology. So it's like, oh, we didn't really anticipate this. Let's look more into how this works. And then, you know, we can figure out, you know, we had one screen that needed to be worked on, and that, you know, sent us into a panic, but then led us to realize really how many different configurations we can make in that big video wall, you know. Yeah. Somebody really wanted to. I don't know in what scenario you could put
Here's
something different on every
like
single one of those screens. So that's fun. But I mean, as far as those things, yeah, we run into little things. Do we wish there was a better camera angle at the front half of the room when it's separated into, you know, two spaces?
So small little
tweaking
things.
Yeah, maybe that would have been an opportunity. But as far as everything else goes, you know, it's really state of the art. They kind of thought of everything.
They really did.
You know,
for me, the passion is in the kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of feedback have you guys gotten about the conference center from either the caterers or folks are going to be creating on site instead of just using it as a serving? What?
Great feedback. I mean, people walk in there and they go, "Oh my God, thank goodness!" You know, because so many kitchens are.
Really, my response was, "I want one."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So no, we're getting great response from that, and you know, there's still lots of opportunity with that too. You know, we've had a couple of things, and I'd like to figure out. You know, we're working on kind of more opportunities for folks to use a kitchen. We've had where someone is putting on like a food safety training and doing demonstrations in the kitchen, and you know, we've raised that pass through between the lobby there and the kitchen, had set up like a classroom kind of out on that island with some more chairs, put a webcam over the stove in the kitchen and a monitor right outside there, and had a little, you know, on-site cooking, you know, cooking demonstrations, cooking class, and that kind of stuff, you know, is just so cool. And we can figure out, you know, how can we make this work for whoever wants to use it, however they want to use it. And you know, there's always daily I go, well, no one's ever asked me this before, but let me talk to the people that, you know, that would help me out with this and see if we can make it happen. And more often than not, we can make it happen.
What are some of the more curious questions you guys have gotten about the facility?
Oh gosh. You know,
how does
recently an event wanted to have an act where they're juggling fire. Said, you know, can we bring in? Said, well, no. So I mean, the
outside, perhaps.
No, we have a fundraiser coming up that they're bringing in a Vegas performance act.
The, okay.
And so it was like someone that's been on America's Got Talent. So you know, just things like that. I'm like, well, it's in our fire safety code that we are not allowed to have acts where they're juggling fire. But just, you know,
specifically, that's listed?
Oh yeah, literally. Well, no, I mean, it doesn't say don't juggle fire in the rules and regulations, but the fire safety code says nothing that produces fire. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
My point is, it's anything from, you know, can we have a meeting where we circle up and talk to, you know, can we dangle dancers from the rafters and juggle fire? So, you know, it's just honing in those expectations of what's going on. So
you haven't gotten the fireworks question yet.
And fireworks are no-go. Yeah, yeah. We have too much. We have too much...
Wood
at risk around there to do things like that. There's other wonderful venues for things like that. So we'll keep to conferences.
Colby, you're being awfully humorous over on the side there without words. Yes,
just laughing.
Well, I would say that that one of the questions that people come in with are like, can you really control this whole building with this little iPad? And you know, organizations like Humboldt State, their IT crew have been there for a tour to kind of get inspiration. So this has offered not a template, but an opportunity for other organizations to see, well, what really is out there.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Amanda Nelson and Colby Smart from the Humboldt County Office of Education. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. What are some of the cool things that the Conference Center is allowing to happen that in the past may not have been available? Amanda, you were talking about using a couple of the rooms as breakout rooms, in addition to the major meeting areas. Has that allowed different types of events to be there rather than, okay, you go over to this corner, you guys go over to this corner, and it just is kind of like listening to everybody speak in tongues if you're in the middle?
Yeah. No, I think it provides a really nice space to be able to have, like I said, have those spaces where people can go and focus on what their specific breakouts are, but then come back together and really piece it all together conference-wise. What I was just mentioning, as well as the technology that we have available, makes it easy for folks who maybe couldn't make the trip, couldn't make it to the conference, to be able to join virtually. Like I said, we had a town hall meeting just last week, and Senator McGuire was there putting on a town hall and was able to conference folks in from Sacramento to be able to, and they could take questions from the audience and interact up on the screen, you know, just like they were there making it, so that
they could see the paper airplanes flying also.
Yep, you could pretty much just like you're there. But making it so, you know, people think of us here in Humboldt County, like maybe we're a little bit isolated, maybe we're a long drive. And it's actually making it so people can come and experience our county too, though. Folks are coming from, you know, Portland, coming from San Francisco, meeting in the middle here and really getting an opportunity to see the beautiful area that we have. But also, if they can't make it, we've got it easy enough to where they can participate as though they were here as well.
Yeah, and you know, an example, in May, the California Department of Education is coming up to facilitate a conference around history, social science. And one of their first requirement is, do you have a space that can hold 400 people? Plus, in addition, breakout rooms for, you know, different breakout sessions. The answer is yes. And so, whereas previous, it was darn near impossible to get something that comprehensive, specifically related to education, to happen in our county. And as a result, teachers, districts would actually have to get subs and drive down to Sacramento or other areas. So it's just one example.
How available is the facility for the community? I mean, hearing a fair amount of in-house, if you will, or certainly within the educational arena, is it available for outside, or is it more like trying to schedule a pumpkin schedule where, okay, you got that spot here and that spot there?
Yeah, it's available to the community, and the majority of the use from the community is a lot of fundraisers for local organizations. You know, you've got your CASA, you've got your Big Brothers, Big Sisters, you've got things of that nature. But what we've realized, what we're beginning to be able to notice after being there for a few years now, is just trends in the seasons of what people are looking for. You know, the first 4 months of the year is typically kind of fundraiser season, so folks are looking for those kind of things. We're coming into, you know, awards and celebration seasons, where programs that have been working all year long or coming into their finales and things like that.
That would be a fiscal year reference.
And then we do have some opportunity in the July and August months, because what we have begun to be able to look at as well is that, even though we're not directly running on an education calendar. Everybody kind of runs on an education calendar, you know, the folks who are putting on these fundraisers, who are organizing these community events are kind of on that schedule. Everybody wants to be, you know, on vacation in the summer and gearing up for things during the holidays. So it's available, and we're finding that we're able to, you know, serve the educational needs, serve the community needs, and then having little pockets of availability for folks who are, you know, want to think outside the box and put on some other types of events.
What about days of the week? I know it would be a challenge, I think, for the community folks to do something summertime, because that's when there are no hotel rooms, unless it's all local. Okay, so that's kind of a challenge to overcome, but not with the facility, with the other side of things. What about weekdays? Yeah, I know that there are a number of folks that go Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Sure.
Like this past weekend or throwing Sunday. Or on the other side, yeah, pretty much the first part of the week you can shoot a cannon and not hurt anybody. But after Wednesday, things start to get a little tight. Do you see any trends in the days of the week use also?
Yeah, the days of the week use is a lot of, you know, folks that are there for work-related trainings. You know, we get a lot of folks in there with either the county or our medical professionals, our law enforcement, our DA's office and probation department, things like that.
Afternoon gatherings or one-dayers kind of stuff?
Yeah, one-day trainings, that kind of thing. We're starting to see more interest in, like we were talking about, folks from kind of outside the area wanting to put on multiple day conferences. And those things are usually taking place on weekdays because they are work days. But as far as your multiple day things, you know, are the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like we did this last weekend. But it's kind of a shot in the dark when, mm-hmm. like, it's not mm-hmm. like, oh, Mondays are always busy and Wednesdays are always slow. It's just really... it's just one day at a time over there. So.
Yeah, and as time progresses, we are starting to see trends. You know, for mm-hmm. example, Amanda mentioned the summertime. So we are starting to see trends, and we're making adjustments based on those trends.
Is that price adjustments?
There is potential to look at our fee schedule again here probably pretty soon.
Well, I think if you're always slammed with one, you know, those days become a little bit more pricey than the days that aren't. Or are you thinking, what was your adjustment reference to, Colby?
I think, are you talking about marketing more towards those times that we have availability for?
Exactly. So really examining where the lulls are and identifying areas that we can provide opportunities for people who may want to do events.
Maximizing the resource.
Precisely.
All right. Now you're talking my lingo.
There you go.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Amanda Nelson and Colby Smart from the County Office of Ed. Okay, so what is the future of the Conference Center? What do you see? Let's push out 10 years.
Sure.
Pretty much the same thing, other than more recognition of what's going on and maximizing the facility? Or do you see that there's built-in opportunities to maintain that, stay abreast of technologies?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, our vision for the future, you know, we're really happy with a lot of the events that continue to come back annually. So we're excited to keep those things on the books, and people are excited to keep coming back. really, we also want to use, you know, the built-in opportunity is there's a lot of opportunity for bringing in, you know, tourism to the area. We're working with a lot of the local hotels, with the Visitor Bureau. We have a great relationship with the Chamber, and we think there's a lot of opportunity, you know, in some of those lulls, some of those downtimes to, you know, say, hey, get out of Reading during those summer weekdays and, you know, come beat the heat. And while you're here, why don't you bring your family, you know, and stay for the weekend? We've got a lot of work already being done in the community, you know, on the tourism side.
One of the family were here for the event, you know, it's kind of like hosting basketball tournaments.
Right.
One comes, you're going to get five or six.
Right. And so that's good, you know, and that's great for everyone. So we're really putting our heads together with those folks who are already doing the great work, mm-hmm. and, you know, seeing how we can be part of that. How can we help them? How can they help us in some of these, you know, put together the whole package and be able to offer that, you know, outside the area to really bring in, you know, to bring in folks to stimulate our local economy.
Is it cost prohibitive to rent the facility?
No, I don't think that it is. I think that people are, for the most part, I mean, no one wants to pay anything for anything, but people are pretty pleased with the price point that we're at and the service they get for that cost. You mm-hmm. know, we're really there. We're hands-on. You know, people are always intimidated by the technology, but we're like, you know, hey, we're here to help you. It's really easy, and we can... you know, make it so that the stress of event planning and coordinating really is downplayed by us being there to help them mm-hmm. out.
Do you guys help to coordinate with the hotels, or is that kind of an independent thing for whoever's doing the event?
It's kind of independent now, but we are looking into, you know, the capacity that we have to be able to offer those services in the future.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
It was more fun than with Chris. See everybody tomorrow.